Amen. Take a seat. For those of you that don't know me, and I'm looking out and I can see quite a few people who look a little bit visitor-like this evening. My name's Kate Seagrave. I'm one of the vicars here. I particularly look after postgraduate students. And this evening, we're starting a new series on our evening service. We're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. So please get your Bible out, your tablet, your phone, whatever it is that you read the scriptures on in church. And this evening, we're going to be taking a slightly different approach. We're going to have three readings and they're going to be interspersed through the talk. Okay, so that's just to keep you on your toes. And I'm warning you, clergy have superpowers. And we can tell when you're swiping to read the word and when you're swiping to play Candy Crush. Okay? Just to instill the fear of God in you a little bit. I've been given the task of doing a bit of an introduction to Proverbs this evening. And most of the time, when we come to do an introduction to the book of, to a book of the Bible, often we look at who wrote it, when was it written, what's it all about, those kind of things. And those kind of things are really, really important questions. And I commend those kind of questions to you. I will warn you that when it comes to the Old Testament, quite a substantial amount of the time, the answer is we really don't know. But that's not the approach I'm going to take this evening. I'm going to take the approach of actually, what do we do when we come across Proverbs in our in devotional lives? Because I don't know how many people here, and this is a show of hands, this is just to make sure you're awake, how many people here have read Proverbs in their own devotional Bible readings day by day? Okay. How many of you have thought, this is really nice, what do I do next? Yeah? How many of you have kind of read like a chapter of it in the sort of Bible in a year and kind of at the end of the chapter gone, I kind of feel like I've just read a chapter and I haven't really absorbed much? Do you know, honesty in church is a rare and a beautiful thing. It's wonderful, and that's why I want to take the approach we're going to take this evening. I've called this sermon Moving from Bumper Sticker Living to the Deep Things of the Lord. Mainly because this weekend just gone, I came across my new wise words to live by on the bumper of a car in the Sainsbury's car park. And it said simply, never do anything you wouldn't want to explain to the paramedics. But seriously, how do we take the book of Proverbs and take these Proverbs and make them more than just sort of bumper sticker sayings that we then go and try and remember in our lives, more than just something that we read through once and think, oh gosh, I'll underline that, must make a note of that. And actually it's something that helps transform us and conform us into the image of Jesus and helps us to walk closer after him. So let's start Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and a prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The first thing we're going to talk about when approaching the book of Proverbs is learning. That sounds fairly obvious, doesn't it? Verse 3 tells us to receive instruction in wise dealing. First and foremost, when we come to these Proverbs, we're to think about receiving instruction in wise dealing. The first way to learn, dare I suggest, is to read the book of Proverbs. I was heartened to see how many hands went up that said they'd read bits of this book. It sounds obvious, but do we? Because actually, I think, and I know this is the case in my life, that often the book of Proverbs is a bit of a sort of Cinderella of Bible books, that actually, unless we're following some kind of Bible in a year plan, or we're following a plan that's been set out elsewhere that's taken us into Proverbs, given a free choice, we might actually then decide, actually, I'd much rather look at Psalms today. Or I'd much rather go to Galatians. Or Ephesians is really where it's at. Or do you know what? I really, really, really want to read something about the life of Jesus in the Gospels. And believe me, all of those are the Word of God. We need the whole counsel of Scripture. But I think there's something about being intentional and going out of our way to read the book of Proverbs, to learn wisdom, and to do that above and beyond when it simply gets rotated in on our Bible reading schedule, that actually will be a way in which we learn what it means to seek wisdom through this book. So read it. Secondly, sit under it. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You see, if we want to learn wisdom, if we want to grow in wisdom, we have to start with humility before our God. We absolutely have to start with humility before our God before we come to his word. We have to come to his word with a posture of being under it, not sitting in judgment over it. And when we read words of wisdom, we're to sit and allow those words to examine us, not us to sit and get defensive about them. I don't know what you're like, but I know that the only time I ever get defensive about anything is when deep down I know the other person's right. Anyone else? I'm hearing some nervous giggles that a lot of us can associate with this. In fact, it's just so telling, isn't it? And don't we find that posture sometimes when we come to the word of the Lord, that sometimes we come to the word of the Lord and we read something that makes us uncomfortable? And so we get defensive about it and we try to argue our way around it and we don't really want to sit and allow the Lord by the power of his Holy Spirit to examine our hearts. But you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. Knowing who the God who speaks through his word is. We have to come to his word remembering whose word it is. It's amazing. Through the blood of Jesus, we have access to the throne room of heaven where the Almighty God sits in splendor and glory. But let's not take that lightly. Let's take that with reverent awe and remember whose word we're coming to. So to learn from Proverbs, we need to read it. We need to sit under it. Let's also be people who memorize it. People who internalize it, because you know, you'll never know when you need it. My parents came to faith when I was 8 years old, and in a fit of new Christian parent keenness, bought a cassette tape of Bible verses set to music, which they played incessantly in the car. And I can sing some really comedy songs around some of the Proverbs, some of which were quite serious, and some of them, I mean, I do have A Nagging Wife is Like a Dripping Tap song. I'm not going to sing it to you this evening. Maybe Lauren can learn it and share it with the children some other time. But you know what? As we actually memorize, and this goes not just for the book of Proverbs, but for any scripture, let's be people who memorize the word of God, because you never know when you'll need it. And you'll never know when they have that moment where actually in that situation, that word has become internalized in you. It's become written on your heart and in your mind by the power of the Spirit. Let's prayerfully memorize it. And there's parts of the book of Proverbs that sometimes we skate through because we think they're not relevant to us. And we never know when we might be in a situation where they are. For years, I used to skate through the Bible bits that ever talked about bribery because I thought, this has got absolutely zero to do with my life. Until I was living abroad for a year as a student in a country where actually it was a fairly major issue. And 3 weeks into my stay at the university, I found myself, well, I would say evicted, but I would rather say all my belongings in a black plastic bin liner in the skip outside. And the woman who was essentially sort of the, in Oxford they call them porters, you know, whoever was on the reception desk of the student residence, who demanded the sum of just about £20 for me to stay. And I reached straight into my purse and I gave her the money. And I went and I recovered my belongings from the skip. And I went straight up to my room where I had a good old rant at God, for wasn't it unfair that someone had treated me so badly? And then the Lord suddenly brought to my mind all the verses in Scripture where he says the Lord hates a bribe. And he brought to mind all the verses in Proverbs where it talks about how actually bribery is an easy gain. You know, if you bribe someone, you get what you want immediately. But it's actually a cancer to your soul. And I remember the weight of that conviction hitting me. And I remember, I can tell you the rest of the story of happened that year because I vowed not to bribe again. So I ended up arrested. I ended up resitting university exams 6 times. I ended up in all sorts of unbelievable situations, but I didn't bribe again. And the thing is actually the bits of the word of the Lord that I thought weren't relevant to my life actually were deeply relevant at a time I could never have expected them to be. So let's be people who learn it. And you know, learning involves knowing. Obviously, you haven't learned it unless you know it, do you? But it also involves receiving. You see, verse 3, it talks about receiving instruction in wise dealing. It's not just about knowing it. It's about the posture. In order to receive something, we have to sit with open hands before it or the person giving it, don't we? In order to receive, there has to be an interpersonal interaction. We're not just talking about knowing facts about a text, but in knowing Proverbs, we're also talking about receiving from the Lord Most High. Let's be people who have open hands, open posture. It involves us admitting that we need to be taught. Admitting that we need to be taught. Admitting we need to be taught means admitting we don't know something. Means admitting we need to grow. Means admitting that in somehow, some place we're lacking. And do you know what the incredible thing is? Is that as we learn to cultivate that posture of receiving before the Lord from this particular portion of Scripture, actually what we're doing is we're allowing His Holy Spirit to transform our hearts and to train us that as we approach the rest of His word, we will sit in that receptive attitude. That posture, as we come to the rest of God's word, will be one of receiving, of understanding our need to be taught by Him, of understanding our need to sit under His word. In the same way that when we physically exercise, sometimes we strengthen muscles which can be used for other things. You know, cross training. People do cross training all the time, don't they? Sometimes, don't laugh, I was going to refrain from using one of those illustrations. But in the same way, you know, when we do certain types of mental training, certain types of disciplines that people learn, people that, for example, train themselves in maths have also developed abilities and capacities to understand logic without really deciding to train themselves deliberately in logic because their brain's been trained a certain way. And spiritually, that's a principle that applies. When we work spiritually to cultivate a heart attitude that sits before the Lord, seeking to receive from His word, we learn from it, and that carries over to other areas of our life. So the first way to use Proverbs in our devotional life is in a posture of learning. The second one is in mining. So this is Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5. Swipe. I'm pleased. I'm just seeing one swipe going on. This is good. Candy Crush is not happening. It says this. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity." In this little passage here, just look at those words again and look at the desperation and the hunger that's in there for wisdom. Call out for insight. Raise your voice for understanding. Make your ear attentive. Incline your heart. There's an inclination. There's a leaning. There's a drawing to. There's a crying out in desperation. Do you remember the blind man that Jesus heals? And he just cries out, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He cries out in desperation. We're to cry out for wisdom, cry out for godly understanding. We're to seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure in verse 4. You know, seeking silver, seeking hidden treasure, that's mining. All the most precious things in this world come from under the ground. We had a song like that in primary school, and I'm definitely not singing that. But the thing is, when we take the book of Proverbs, let's be people who take Proverbs and mine them for all they're worth. Have the attitude of a miner when it comes to scripture. You see, mining is a commitment. Really. I mean, mining isn't casually finding something on the floor and picking it up and taking it home with you. In my family, we call that wombling. Mining is not wombling. You might happen to find or womble a £20 note off the gutter. You might be like my dad and womble glass bottles for a civic duty to be recycled later. But mining takes commitment. Mining takes surveying the land. Mining takes digging deep. It takes time. You need time to mine. You need to take time. You need to have time and go over and over and deeper in the same spot. And do you know what the incredible thing is? The survey's been done and there's treasure in the Word of God. This is not like human mining where you do the geological survey and you think there's a really, really high chance you're going to hit gold or diamonds or oil or uranium or whatever it is you might be mining. This is the Word of God. It's certain. There's treasure. But mining takes time. It takes commitment. It takes investment. Are you prepared to invest yourself into seeking treasure in the Word of God? Are you prepared to invest your time on meditating on the Word of God? Are you prepared to invest your time in seeking depth in it, in looking, in considering, in contemplating the images? The book of Proverbs is full of images. Images of animals, images from the natural world around us, images of governors, of rulers, images of neighbors, images of family relationships. Are we prepared to take the time and the effort and invest ourselves in this? I once heard a challenge from a preacher who challenged people to budget their finances so that they could afford to resource their Christian life. And their point was simply that often we spend our sort of spending money and then we say, but you know what, I actually haven't got the money to buy that book, access those resources for that teaching, go on that conference that looks really interesting, whatever it might be. And I think actually probably for a lot of us, it's not a question of finance that stops us really investing in the Word of God, but it's a question of a budgeting of our time. We have the time in the day to delve and mine the Word of God. Do we budget our time to do that? Do we make that investment of time? If someone's going to successfully have a silver mine, they have to devote their time to it. Let's be people who devote our time. Let's be people who also are not content with the surface but immerse ourselves. You see, once you have your mine, you have to go down your mine to get the treasure. You can't just content yourself with looking at your lovely hole in the ground. That's like children at the seaside digging holes with their buckets and spades. But you have to go and immerse yourself in it. And as you immerse yourself, be watchful. Because any ore looks actually to the untrained eye a lot like some of the stuff around it. Be watchful as you go through the Word of God. Because as I said, the amazing thing about the Word of God is there is no dross in the Word of God. There is no waste in the Word of God. There is no leftover rock or fool's gold in the Word of God. The survey's been done. It is treasure. We have the certainty of treasure. Let's go mining. And you know what? We bring the awe of our understanding of the Word of God, and we bring it to Him, and we ask Him to refine it by the fire of His Holy Spirit. Because as we come to His Word, Sometimes our understanding is clouded by our own defensiveness. Sometimes our understanding is clouded by our own sinfulness. Sometimes our understanding is clouded by our own baggage. Sometimes our understanding is clouded by our own blindness. But you know, we serve the God who heals the blind, who forgives the sinner, who gives wisdom and understanding and insight. And it's by the power of his Holy Spirit that he will take that all. He will pour his refining fire upon it. And we will have something that is so much more precious than platinum or gold or diamonds. Let's be people who mine the word of God. And let's be people and we take the book of Proverbs. Take a proverb this week and mine it. There we are, some homework. Pick a proverb and mine it. Delve into it. Meditate upon it. Proverbs 2:6-10. Says this, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So we've done learning. We've done mining. Now we're doing hearing. Isn't it interesting? For the Lord gives wisdom, verse 6, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Let's approach the book of Proverbs. Let's approach a proverb that we read, not with the sort of bumper sticker idea of I'll make a note of that, or in my case, I'll take a photo of that and put it on Facebook for lots of people to like. But instead, with the attitude that says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak to me through your word. Let's read this book with an expectation of hearing the Lord. I think it's strange, isn't it? Sometimes we read the book of Proverbs and we don't really expect the Lord to speak deep into our souls. We kind of expect to come out with a whole load of platitudes and some interesting words. But let's be people who read this with expectancy. The Lord speaks through his word, all of it. You know, wisdom and understanding are gifts imparted by him. By him, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives true wisdom. They're by his word. His word is spoken deep into our hearts. And elsewhere in scripture, it says that his word has power. It goes deep. It divides joints, even dividing the bone and the marrow. In Isaiah, it says, the word of the Lord will not return to him void, but will achieve the purposes for which he sent it. His word is spoken through the book of Proverbs. His word gives wisdom. It brings a harvest of wisdom in our lives. But dare we allow that level of access to him? Dare we allow the Lord to speak into our hearts, to challenge us, and not just to tantalize our minds? Not just tantalize our sense of the witty, but dare we allow that level of access to his spirit to speak to our hearts? Dare we be people who sit with the word and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So we have learning, we have mining, we have hearing. And finally, none of this is absolutely any good whatsoever unless we do the living. In the words of the great sportswear company, just do it. Just do it. Because you know what? Then your life will testify to the glory of God's wisdom and the truth of his word. As we take the wisdom that we find in this book, and as we apply it to our lives, as we carry it out, as we dare to remain silent when faced with false accusation, as we trust the Lord to direct the heart of our rulers, as we go and we win souls, for the one who wins souls is wise, as we are the people who tear down the stronghold of the mighty and the fortress in which they trust in Jesus' name, as we seek the Lord's wisdom here in how we manage our finances and our attitude towards debt, as we seek the Lord's wisdom in our attitude to our family members, in how we relate to our neighbours, as we carry that out, as we apply that wisdom, and some of it is counterintuitive to the way the world may work, but do you know what? Glory goes to the Lord in our lives. Because our lives become a testimony, not to good living by the standards of the world, but instead living according to the eternal wisdom and the eternal principles of the Lord. You see, your reading that way becomes an act of worship lived out in your life. As we lay ourselves down, and as we allow the Lord to have glory. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As we live lives which fear and reverence the Lord, that's a testimony that gives glory to his name. You know, Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think that's actually one of the most frightening verses in Scripture. Because if you think of the words that we've all uttered in this past week, what does that tell us about our hearts? Really, what does that tell us about our hearts? But can you imagine what the overflow of a heart which contains wisdom is like? An overflow of the heart transformed by the word of the Lord which has dwelt in you, which has borne fruit in you, which has borne treasure in you. Consistently in Scripture, people are commended for asking for the gift of wisdom. Solomon in 2 Chronicles 1, he asked for the gift of wisdom of the Lord before he asked for anything else. In the book of James, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask for it, and the Lord will give generously. I've taken, as I said, a different approach in these past few minutes to opening this book with you. I hope this is useful in terms of your own devotional life when you come to this. I hope that I've inspired you to go and do some investigating and some mining. But let's be people who learn. Let's be people who mine. Let's be people who hear. Let's be people who live. And let's be people whose lives are a testimony to the glory of the wisdom of God, not to our own understanding. Let's stand, shall we? Some of us are standing here this evening and we have a particular situation in our mind that we need a specific word of wisdom from the Lord for. Some of us have got a situation, it might be in our lives, it might be in the lives of someone we love, but we need a word of wisdom from the Lord as to how to navigate that situation, that circumstance. The Lord has placed you in that situation for all of his purposes and all of his plans to be worked out, not only in their life, but also in your life as he seeks to train you and transform you and conform you. In this moment now, ask him for that gift of wisdom. Some of you might not have a particular situation in mind, but life generally, you're aware of the need for the wisdom of God. It's a general wisdom. It's seeking his word, seeking his face. If that's you, ask. Some here this evening, as I've been speaking, have been aware that you need a hunger for the word of God. You need a hunger. Let's pray. Ask him for that hunger. Cry out for wisdom. Cry out for understanding. Cry out for his words. Let be people who cry out to the Lord and love his word. Invite him into those areas of your life where you need wisdom. Be specific. He knows already. He knows already. He can see it. He knows what you need. But stand with open hands. Cultivate that posture of receiving before him. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, impart wisdom to us. Impart wisdom through your word to us in Jesus' name. Give us a hunger for your word. Give us a hunger to sit under your word. Give us a hunger to seek your word, to seek the riches in your word. Pour the refining fire of your Holy Spirit upon our understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.